Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, off and running here on the Big X. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope that you join us every day. If not, this is a show each weekday, 11 a.m., that focuses on IU sports, also sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. Fridays are always a great day. Of course, at this time of the year, we get you ready for high school football on Fridays. Week 8 coming up tonight in high school football. The sectional pairing show is set for Sunday at 6 o'clock. That's when all the teams locally and across the state will find out who they will match up with and what their path all the way really to a state championship in each of the six classes of football will look like. So we look forward to tonight's games. We look forward to hopefully, looks like the weather should be okay for tonight. It's been a struggle, it seems, Friday nights here so far this 2018 season to keep good weather with us, but we think we'll be okay tonight. And then, of course, once the games are done, we'll find out more on Sunday about what the next few weeks look like once we get through regular season football. I say this a lot, but it's really hard to believe we're in week 8 of high school football, and it's even harder to believe we're approaching the final weeks of the regular season and that postseason football will be here before you know it. We get to this time, boy, Thanksgiving will be up on you quick, and you'll be talking a lot of basketball and the start of the regular season, the non-conference games, the high school games. It just moves and transitions from one thing to another so very quick. The other thing, obviously, that's going to come up consistently today on the show is what's going on up in New York. It's the college basketball scandal trial is probably the best name that one could attach with it, dating all the way back to just over a year ago when a lot of charges came out, wiretaps catching some coaches, assistant coaches, more so shoe companies funneling money to certain players and schemes to land them at certain programs. And, of course, it included financial advisors. It included agents and their middlemen that were dealing with a lot of the AAU coaches and the summer coaches. But nonetheless, it's been a real mess. And yesterday, kind of the figurehead for all this was Brian Bowen, the player from LaPorte La Lemire. At least that's where he played his year of high school ball, final year, before committing to the University of Louisville. He was kind of the figurehead in this. And, of course, his dad, they're from Michigan. His dad testified yesterday, and what he had to say, and I don't know how they'll go about proving it, from whether it's a violation of laws, of U.S. laws, or whether it's just simply concerns, and obviously these would be NCAA concerns for sure, but I don't know how they'll go to proving some of this, but some of the claims that he made about agreements that were offered to him for his son, whether it was playing for a certain AAU program, whether it was to attend a certain college, some of the dollar amounts, some of the people that he claims are involved, really just a laundry list of college basketball programs and people involved. It's almost unbelievable, surreal to hear some of what was said. We'll have that for you. We'll kind of go through the list, at least, of what Mr. Bowen Sr. Is saying coming up here in just a few moments. But this is just an unbelievable time. Again, I'm not smart enough to understand how some of the, and I think this is a general question right now, how some of the allegations that I guess you'd call them that have been made, not just toward Louisville, but to other programs, and we're finding out that that list has grown rapidly, how that is seen in the eyes of the NCAA, how they take what's said in a court case in New York and put that into action with an NCAA investigation, or how they would charge those schools if they, and how they were able to prove that what he says is true. Now, he was very matter-of-fact in what he said. There's no question about it, and very detailed in what he said as well. But really just a very, with the season around the corner, very interesting time once again for college basketball. Just over a year ago, when all this stuff started to break, and of course Louisville was one of the first and most predominant schools with problems, it kind of took away from the season a little bit last year, obviously, when you lose your coach and your athletic director, and it's happening there in the early weeks of practice. It takes away from a lot of the focus on the team. It's almost like that's happening again this year. There's not a specific school or coach that's lost his job over this, at least not yet, but with Midnight Madness-type practices and practices getting underway, the focus of a lot of these schools now becomes what was said in the court case or what's come up more recently, and not the upcoming college basketball season. So I think this is going to be something that lingers on. I think the trial continues on Tuesday in New York and goes on for three or four more days at least. So I'm sure that this won't be, and I'll have the full list of what Mr. Bowen had to say, but I'm sure this won't be the last of allegations or schools that come up in this college basketball trial. Will be really interesting to see how things move forward from here. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, we have Hoosier headlines and news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the Week 8 football schedule. We'll tell you more about what Brian Bowen Sr. had to say, who were the people and the schools that he named in the court earlier this week. And also, we'll take a look at what it means for Romeo Langford. His name, this came up some yesterday on the program, but his name was on the list of potential players of interest, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute as well in the headline segment. Segment two today, we'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Obviously, IU basketball on tap for our conversation with Jared. Later in the program, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He will join me as well. We'll talk some football and basketball to wrap things up with Kyle Neddenrip today on the program. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one, we'll jump right in to what Mr. Bowen Sr. had to say yesterday. Really amazing. And Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, if you don't follow him, he's a great person to follow for college basketball, for sports in general. But he's been in New York. He's been all over this case. He kind of started a Twitter storm yesterday because he was essentially live tweeting what Mr. Bowen had to say. And here's a list. He said, first off, when you hear Dawkins, this is Christian Dawkins, the kind of the agent runner. I don't know exactly how you want to describe him. That would have been a middleman between the Bowen family and some of the college and other AAU programs that it sounds like he had lots of negotiations with. But according to Mr. Bowen, Dawkins told him Arizona would pay $50,000, and that $50,000 would come via assistant coach Pasternak at Arizona, who's now left the Arizona program and has went on to become a head coach at a mid-major school out west. Dawkins also told Mr. Bowen that Oklahoma State would pay $150,000 for Brian Jr. They would give him $8,000 for a car and, quote, some undisclosed amount to buy a house, end quote. That came from assistant coach Lamont Evans at Oklahoma State. Also, Mr. Bowen saying Dawkins would quote, help me with housing, end quote. That came via assistant coach Mike Morrell. Dawkins said that Creighton, this is a surprising school on the list. I'm not sure anybody thought of Creighton as one of the schools that would be listed or that would come up in this court case, but Creighton would pay, quote, like $100,000 and a good job, like a lucrative job, end quote, via assistant coach Preston Murphy. And earlier in the week, there was something that came up about Oregon offering Bowen money, and that's why Adidas got involved. Bowen had played with Adidas grassroots teams and said, you know, we don't want him to go to a Nike school. We've got to get a Adidas school to amp up some money to get this done, to go send him to an Adidas school. Oregon was mentioned as that initial school on the Nike side, but Mr. Bowen Sr. did not recall discussing anything with Dawkins about Oregon. A couple other interesting notes. These these were as interesting to me as the actual colleges offering to pay money. Mr. Bowen Sr. said he was paid $25,000 for his son to play AAU basketball one summer with the Michigan Mustangs. The money came from Adidas' Chris Rivers. $25,000 just to play AAU basketball for a summer, for a spring and summer. I don't know how long the agreement was for, but that's unbelievable just to play travel basketball. Bowen also testified that he was paid $5,000 to $8,000, somewhere in there, to play AAU ball with a Nike-sponsored Mean Streets team out of Chicago. So just to play AAU basketball, you're looking at $25,000 for Michigan Mustangs, $5,000 to $8,000 for Mean Streets out of Chicago. That's $30,000+ just for your kid to play AAU basketball with a team. That's unbelievable. And here's something else very surprising. He said he was paid, the family was paid $2,000 a month to have his son attend La Lemire. That's the preparatory type school, the non-IHSA member school up in LaPorte, Indiana. New Albany played LaPorte and Bowen when he was on the team in Newcastle a few years ago, and he was paid that $2,000 a month for his son to go there by then-coach Shane Harriman, who's now went on to become a Division I assistant coach. A AAU team's paying for your son to play, your prep school paying you a nice sum each month for your kid to stay at their prep school, for your kid to go to their prep school. Just some unbelievable details and unbelievable information that you don't expect to hear. Now, as far as Brian Bowen Sr.'s accusations against any of these people, I guess they have to have proof. I don't know how you take his words in a court case and maybe you open up an investigation. Maybe you start interviewing those schools and those coaches that are named, because not only did he give dollar amounts and schools, but he gave the contact person, most of them assistant coaches at those schools that he named. So just crazy to read through this stuff, crazy to hear this stuff. I don't think anyone's terribly surprised that it goes on, but to hear it all named by one family. And the crazy thing is, Brian Bowen, as intriguing as a prospect as he was, he wasn't top five or top 10 in the country. So I think the thought is, if it's going on with a player that was maybe 15 to 25, I don't know, somewhere in the top 25, I think is where Bowen was at as a player in his senior year, what's happening with the top five players in the country? So definitely some interesting stuff yesterday on all fronts, from the colleges offering and some of the colleges like Creighton, that's surprising, to the AAU programs paying that much money for a player to play with them in a spring and summer season. I've heard of parents getting offered travel money or being flown different places. You hear of fathers getting the opportunity to run an AAU program for a shoe company, but to just a flat payment to go play for a team, that obviously is something different. Our next headline is around the same thing, because a lot of Indiana fans concerned, and it was just a simple list that was put out before the trial began of potential names that may come up. And some of the key high school players in 2018, their names were on that list. Zion Williamson of Duke, a freshman there, was on the list. Romeo Langford was on the list as well. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who will be with us on Monday, and I'm sure that this will come up. He had a really good story that I believe was in today's paper about why Romeo's name may come up. And he points to, and this is a good fact, the best, and I'm reading, quote, "The best guess right now would be something to do with the topics covered in the Washington Post May story about the relationship between Langford, Adidas, and Langford's family. The story suggested," and I'm still reading from Zach's story here, "the story suggested that in an effort to keep Langford involved with Adidas, the apparel giant agreed to sponsor an AAU program run by Langford's father, Tim. The story didn't allege any wrongdoing, either legally or in the eyes of the NCAA. Rather, it illustrated ways in which shoe companies can enter into financial relationships with elite prospects' families that are themselves above board. If that's why Langford's name is on that list, then we're retreading old ground," end quote. Again, that's kind of a little background about what Zach, and I've seen others say that Washington Post kind of investigative story looking into how money gets to the top high school players in the country through their families. If that's the basis of that, then I think it's pretty well stated what that is. But IU fans obviously concerned, fans of Romeo obviously concerned. I don't see any reason to be terribly concerned at this point. He's a top 5 player in the country. He had had stories and investigative type reports done like that Washington Post story back in the spring, and we'll see how things play out. But I feel pretty good about Romeo Langford and his chances to play as a freshman, as we all expect at Indiana. Obviously, some of the other things that are coming up in this trial where there looks to be pretty good chances of wrongdoing, going to be really interesting to see what happens with some of those players and coaches and schools involved. As I said, our final headline today, week 8 of high school football is set for tonight. 3 really good games. Seymour at New Albany, that will be one of our feature games tonight on the Big X Sports Radio. Brownstown at Silver Creek, that will be our second feature game. That's a Mid-Southern Conference championship game tonight. Silver Creek's been playing good football. Brownstown, obviously the power of the Mid-Southern Conference, so that will be interesting to see how that plays out. The other game we won't have play-by-play from this contest, but we will be tracking very closely, is Milan at Providence. Providence always closes their season, or at least they have the last couple of years, with teams like Milan and Linton Stockton, who they'll play next week. And they're sectional-level opponents. They're obviously not in Providence's 2A sectional, but it's a great way to play some very strong competition within your own class to close the season. Sometimes it means going on the road. Tonight it means Milan making the long trip from Milan to Providence. But that will be, I think, a very good indication of where this Providence team is at as they enter the final couple weeks of regular season play. Other Week 8 games tonight. Floyd Central's at Jennings County. Jeff has a really tough one at Columbus East. Charlestown goes on the road to Salem. Charlestown, the big question there, Marion Lukes, is he still healthy? Even if he's not, they should be able to win. The key for Charlestown is to have him back and ready to go for sectional to give them their best opportunity to work through what could be a very tough sectional for them. Clarksville will host Cordon and Rock Creek. They play at West Washington tonight. That's a look at, again, Week 8 high school football schedule. Those first 3 games, Seymour at New Albany, Brownstown at Silver Creek, those two are feature games tonight on the Big X, and also Milan and Providence. Those should be really strong football games here in Week 8. Look forward to staying up to date with all of those games tonight. Don't forget our coverage on the Big X. It begins at 6 p.m. with the kickoff show. We'll preview Louisville games. We'll preview Southern Indiana games. We'll talk with Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports, all in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll start with Seymour at New Albany. That's where we'll start for kickoff, but we'll go back and forth between the Seymour New Albany and Brownstown Silver Creek games as far as play-by-play goes, kind of like a red zone approach on the radio. We'll also have call-in reports from Milan at Providence. We'll keep you posted with constant updates on scores for all the local games. And then when all the Week 8 games are final tonight, we have our scoreboard show. We'll be joined by coaches and media. We'll have scores and highlights from a lot of the big games on both sides of the river. It's always fun. What it equals is about 5 to 5.5 hours of local high school football coverage each Friday night on the Big X. So we're excited about Week 8. We're excited about the sectional pairings coming out on Sunday. We'll continue our high school football coverage as long as we have a local team remaining once we get into the postseason. And we think we got a couple teams that could come out with sectional championships this year, so we'll see how it plays out. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call coming up next. We also have Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star coming up later in the program. Lots of great stuff coming your way, some good interviews, lots of good information. We'll cover IU basketball. We'll talk a little IU football. We'll talk some recruiting, all coming up in the rest of this hour on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And And we're back on this Friday edition of the program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest each Friday. Our chat with Jared is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, before we dive into IU basketball post-Hoosier hysteria, and there's plenty of stuff to get to, how about all the things coming out, especially in the testimony yesterday from Brian Bowen Sr. up at New York in the college basketball scandal court case that's ongoing and will continue next week? Just really unbelievable things being stated in that case.
Yeah, if anyone was in denial about the amount of money that is getting passed around, I think that has ended. it's one of those things that I think these kinds of arrangements are things that we assumed, you know, that we kind of thought was going on, but it's a little bit shocking to see it laid out with such specificity. But, you know, that was what is going to happen now that you have people who are under oath being asked questions. So what I think is the most interesting part of this is, you know, with the recent rule changes that the NCAA passed, they can now use information that is gathered by, you know, someone like the FBI. And they don't have to go like fact check it or double check it. They can just use that as part of their process when they're, you know, doing their investigation and potentially assessing NCAA penalties. So all of this stuff coming out, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it, because, you know, you just have, you know, one guy saying, you know, that this offer was made, you know, but what kind of corroborating evidence is there, you know, and will the schools just be able to deny it and move on from there? So it's a real can of worms that is being opened up. You know, and so just going to kind of have to wait and see. But again, it's, you know, just kind of eye opening, I think, for anybody who thought that the underbelly of college basketball was something close to pristine.
Yeah, no question about it. Some amazing stuff. And I think the court case continues Tuesday, so I'm sure that maybe we're not done hearing different schools and coaches and AAU programs and prep schools and just the breadth of what was mentioned and named and the people paying, it's hard to wrap your mind around. But crazy stuff there. Jared is with us Fridays. And, Jared, I know for you, and every day this week when we've had what we call our IU expert on, we've obviously given them a chance to give their rating, their review on Hoosier hysteria. For you, I know that you were actually in attendance. You're not on Hoosier soil permanently any longer, so you came back and made a full weekend of it, and I'm sure had some great experiences both outside of and, of course, within the Hoosier Hysteria event on Saturday. A lot of positive changes in the length of the event, a lot of new graphics and features that kind of were very attractive to the fans in attendance and recruits, obviously, as well. I think a big improvement year for Hoosier hysteria. Take the team and the Romeo excitement and all that out of the way for just a moment. Just looking at the event itself and how it moved and how it transitioned, the length of the event, the graphics and other things that I've already mentioned, I think some big improvements for this preseason event, which is something that is a big deal here in Indiana.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's a little bit hard for me to compare just because I haven't been to one in person in so long, and that really is an event, I think, where the experience in person is so much different than when you're just, you know, watching it on a little computer screen on BTN Plus. But, you know, I thought the pacing was a lot better. I thought the event itself was just a lot like kind of how Archie Miller does things. You know, it was kind of succinct. It was to the point, but you got a lot out of it. And I think that's what you want. You know, I thought there were a few bells and whistles, but they were meaningful ones. I mean, I thought the floor projection show in person was just spectacular. And obviously they spent a lot of money on that. And I think it was money well spent. You know, that is obviously geared toward giving the fans a good experience, but also toward impressing recruits. And you could just see that the details had been thought through all the way to where the recruits sat. You know, they sat up a little bit higher so that they could see the floor projection a little bit better. And then they ended up moving down. And that kind of attention to detail is important, you know, and I just think it's indicative of how this staff operates, how this staff does things. So I really liked it. You know, I think, you know, some people have said maybe the scrimmage could be longer. I thought the scrimmage was fine where it is because, you know, all we're really looking for at Hoosier Hysteria is a little taste. You know, just give us a little basketball. You know, let us see the guys run around. Let's see what the freshmen look like. You know, we're all going to overreact to it anyway, so don't give us too much. You know, so I thought that was probably plenty of time for the scrimmage. So, yeah, I thought I liked it and certainly liked the pacing and just how they laid everything out. better than what had been done in the past. That is not an event that needs to drag on, and this one didn't, and that's good.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Your chief takeaway, what was it? I know we didn't get a lot of minutes to watch the scrimmage. It was a 15-minute, very brief scrimmage with lots of substitutions going on. But was there something throughout the night or in the scrimmage that you'd take away with you?
You know, my biggest takeaway really from being there, it wasn't necessarily anything that happened at the scrimmage. It was more kind of a macro point, which is that it really feels like Indiana's ready to compete at a big-time level again. You know, I feel like IU basketball for a long time has somewhat been resting on the laurels of its history, its tradition, and the five banners and all of that, and that's great, and certainly the future of Indiana basketball will be built upon that. But, you know, there are certain things that you need now in the modern age of college basketball to get the kind of recruits that you're going to need to win big and win consistently. And so I thought, you know, the announcement of the Oladipo Zeller Legacy Lounge, I thought that was huge. You know, the locker room renovations, and again, you know, just the way that Hoosier Hysteria was done with, you know, some more, you know, more meaningful bells and whistles. I just thought all of that added up to a program that recognizes that what it did in the 40s and what it did in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, that stuff is great, and it will always be a selling point, but we need to do what big-time blue-blood basketball programs are doing in 2018. And it felt to me like Indiana was kind of, you know, stepping into that present so that it's more prepared for the future. And so really more than anything that I took away from, you know, watching the players play, it was that general sense that, hey, you know, we're back to playing in the big leagues again, and that's where I think Indiana needs to be.
I think it was Zach Osterman's story yesterday with quotes from and you know, it wasn't. It was in the Indianapolis Star, but it wasn't Zach. They talked to Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo about their contributions to this new players' lounge, and that's one of the things about facility upgrades. Indiana's been able to make some upgrades from Assembly Hall, which happened last year, to some off-the-court things like the lounge and the training room and the locker room and other things like that that have been announced and unveiled so far this year. But they've been able to make some great improvements that will attract the recruits and that the current players will appreciate and that do match up with other Big Ten and other top blue blood college basketball facilities and programs out there, all while not messing up the tradition of IU basketball, which I think is very special and one of the reasons that Indiana continues to be up there in blue blood college basketball rankings despite not winning a national championship for a number of years. And I think it was Victor Oladipo in this Indianapolis Star article that had commented they've upgraded so much, but they haven't touched the court. They haven't touched the tradition. And I think that's very important. So it's been interesting to see Indiana really grasp these facility improvements and make some big upgrades that have been very attractive, I'm sure, to the recruits that are on campus, but not screw around or mess up the tradition, which is the uniforms and the names not on the back of the uniforms and the Assembly Call court and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in anything, you know, when you're trying to separate yourself from other big time schools, you know, you want to be able to position yourself. You want to have something that's unique about your program. And the tradition of Indiana basketball is, you know, as good as anybody's, except for maybe just a couple of schools. And so, you know, you've got to keep that. You've got to embrace that. And that's not something that needs to compete with modernizing. You know, those are things that should complement each other. And so, you know, you want to keep those things that are still meaningful today, you know, candy stripe pants, the uniforms, all the things that you just mentioned, while, again, you know, kind of bringing into the equation kind of the more modern amenities and accoutrements that don't do anything to harm the tradition, but actually, you know, help to accentuate it. And so I think that's what it feels like Indiana has done. And that's a good thing. You know, that's what Indiana needs to do to win consistently, which, you know, obviously we've kind of been in this wilderness for the past couple of decades where that hasn't been the case. And I think this, it feels, you know, like maybe we have the coach in place now. We'll have to see, you know, but certainly I think doing a lot of these things with the facilities and just in getting things more modernized is really going to help moving forward.
Talking with Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. I'll ask you this. This is a question I started getting before Hoosier Hysteria. I had no way of even answering this, but I did like what I see saw at the event on Saturday, whether it was the shooting contest or the scrimmage. But will Evan Fitzner start? Would you have him, Coach Morris, in your projected starting lineup with what you've read and what you've seen about him and his sharp shooting abilities, his abilities to play inside out as well?
You know, we talked about that on this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio. I would say right now, no. And the reason that I would say that is because, you know, Zach McRoberts, I think if you're talking about who's starting, you know, it's really between he and Fitzner and McRoberts, because Romeo is going to start, Juwan's going to start, Justin Smith is going to start, and then you're going to have a guard who's probably going to be Devontae Green. So those four guys, I think, are, you know, kind of written in pen into the starting lineup, I would assume. So then who is it? Well, you know, I think we have a coach who is very defensive-minded and I think is going to want to set a defensive tone to start games. And so Zach McRoberts is the guy to do that. And let's not overlook his shooting. I mean, he's a guy who shot 39% from downtown last year, looked much more confident, I thought, in the scrimmage and, you know, the opportunities that he had. So, you know, he can be a guy who can provide shooting as well. And he's such a versatile defender that I think it makes some sense to start him. And then with a guy like Evan Fitzner, you know, you get to that 12, 13, 14 minute mark and, you know, maybe things aren't going as good or, you know, guys are just getting tired. You want a little jolt. Now you can throw the 6'10 guy out there that can start raining threes. And so that's something that could really provide a jolt. What's going to be interesting with Fitzner is, you know, he's obviously going to be a key part of the rotation, but how much he plays in any given game may be matchup dependent, because as good as he is shooting wise, and he's really going to help space the floor, and I think his role is really easy to envision there, you know, how does he defend and what kind of challenges does it present to Indiana, you know, with him defending if he has to be out in space and depending on what other matchups the opponents present. So that'll be interesting to see. And I think, you know, so he may start, you know, just based on some matchups, but to me it's easier to envision Zach McRoberts as a more consistent starter because of his versatility and just because of what his coach values above all else.
Talking with Jared Morris, IU Basketball. Jared is with the Assembly Call. Jared, before we let you go, IU football, Ohio State football, that's the game this week. Going to be a tough one for the Hoosiers. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts, I was actually texting with my dad about this. It has been, what, 30 years since Indiana's beaten Ohio State, 31 years since 1987, the darkest day in Ohio State football history when Indiana went up there and won 31-10, and then the next year Indiana comes back and it was, what, 48-7. You know, those were some great times under Bill Mallory, and I know, you know, when we were there, no one envisioned that it would take, you know, that over the next 30 years there wouldn't be another one. So I think history is obviously stacked against Indiana. More important than that, the talent level just seems very much stacked in favor of Ohio State. So I think this is a game where, obviously, if you can win, that would be great. But I think really you're looking to compete and you're looking to come out of it feeling confident about something. You know, because this still feels like an Indiana team and they're 4-1, but do we truly know their identity? You know, I think it's a defense-driven team. We know that through the first three games. We thought it was going to be a team driven by the running game. That's been a little bit inconsistent. So can you do anything really well against Ohio State that gives you confidence moving forward and helps you establish your identity for the second half of the season? To me, that's the most important thing that you can get coming out of it. And so, you know, you want to go up there, you want to compete, feel good about yourself, and then use it in some way as a springboard to the rest of your season. Even if it's not a win, because of the opponent, because of the location, there are still potentially some positives that you can take out of it, even in a loss. So that's what I would hope for, and, you know, we'll just have to see, because that Ohio State team is really, really, really good. So it's looking like it's going to be a tough Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call. Our guest, Jared, is always with us on Fridays talking IU basketball. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing Sister Store. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, and great pastries. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe. Jared, thanks so much for the chat. Always look forward to Fridays and the opportunity to hear from you, and we'll do it again next week.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend, Matt.
You too. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk basketball, football, recruiting, and a lot more with Kyle coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here on this Friday edition of the program. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. Kyle is always with us on Fridays. Kyle, where in the world has the high school football season gone? We're headed in to week 8 tonight, and once the games tonight are done, we'll be 1 week away from the conclusion of the regular season. And of course, this Sunday, we'll find out pairings for the sectional tournament, what the path in the state tournament looks like for all of our schools and all six classes in the state of Indiana. This season has flown by.
Yeah, it sure has, Matt. It's it always seems like, you know, you spend so much time preparing for it, and then it just it's kind of over with in a flash, or at least gets to the playoffs in a flash. So you know, we'll see on Sunday what happens, what shakes out with that. And always fun to see the sectional bracket unveiled, and that'll be Sunday evening. So so at that point, you kind of get a sense of you know, some of the best matchups. Obviously, 6A will have a bye week, and most of 5A as well. So a little bit of a break in between there, which I think I have come to like, and kind of gives the smaller schools a little bit of a spotlight that first week of the sectional. So yeah, it is flown by, and it has become a I think a lot of good storylines going into the sectional draw. So really looking forward to seeing what happens out of that. And then I've got a really fun game tonight with Warren Central hosting Carmel in a top five matchup. So we'll see if anybody can hang with Warren Central. Maybe Carmel can do it, but I think a lot of people would be surprised even with that the way Warren Central's put up points this season.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Following up on high school football, where we're at waiting for the pairings this Sunday, who's your biggest lock to win their respective class? Is it Warren Central in 6A, or maybe New Palestine in 5A? Who do you see as the front runner?
Well, I would, you know, I'd hesitate a little bit in 6A and 5A because there are a lot of good teams along the way. You know, and Warren Central has been really, really dominant this year. But even last year, you know, when we saw Ben Davis and that excellent team that they had, Warren Central pushed them a little bit in the sectional, and so did Lawrence Central. So there's just a lot of talent on those 6A teams. I know a lot of people maybe feel that way based off what Warren's done this year, but, you know, I kind of think back to that opening game against Center Grove, and, you know, that was Warren's closest game of the year. The final was 27-15, and it wasn't quite that close of a game, but I think if you're able to play keep away from them a little bit and can run the ball, and you know, especially once it gets into the colder weather in the tournament, that may be a formula, you know, if they run into it. And it seemed like Carmel, I think, is potentially capable because they have a really good defense and they like to run the ball and kind of play that style. I think that's the only way. I don't think you can kind of spread the field and play up tempo and try to beat them. I don't think that's probably a recipe, but I would hesitate a little bit. I think New Pal again, you know, in 5A, you know, they're a front runner, but you know, they're actually a 4A team playing 5A. So, you know, they don't have, you know, the total numbers of a Cathedral that they might see along the line, or even a Zionsville in their own sectional. So again, as good as they've been, they're actually playing above their weight class because of the tournament success factor, which I think people forget that sometimes. But if I was to pick a lock in any class, it might be Pioneer in 1A. The way they have, you know, they're the defending 1A champs. They're, you know, have shut out five of their seven opponents this year. They've got a kid, Jack Kaiser, who I had a chance to write about this week. He was going to Notre Dame, who is just a dominant football player. Would be a really good player at any level of football, but at 1A, he's virtually unstoppable. Plays quarterback, linebacker, kicks, punts, does everything for that team. So if I was to pick a team that really would be a lock, I guess, or I would pick as the most favored team, it'd probably be that team, the Pioneer team in 1A.
talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, let's get into a little basketball recruiting for a moment. It seems like each week we have a pretty regular conversation about Trace Jackson Davis and his recruiting. He had his official visit to Indiana over the weekend, which coincided with the Hoosier Hysteria event. Obviously, IU, the coaches, a lot of tricks up their sleeve to showcase IU basketball and what Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and other recruits that were in attendance would mean to the program and what to expect from the fan base of the program. Trace's recruitment continues this weekend. He has an official visit at Michigan State. Obviously, Michigan State, a stalwart in the Big Ten Conference, not terribly far away from Trace's home, just south of Indianapolis. So you've got to think that Coach Izzo and his group there would be strong contenders for Trace Jackson Davis if he didn't choose to stay in state.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And Coach Izzo, I've seen him at games of Trace's before. I've seen the AAU games of his, you know, sitting underneath the basket. And you know, anytime he kind of dials in on a recruit, he really dials in on him. So, you know, that's Trace has long been a target of Michigan State, and you know, we'll see where that goes after, you know, talking to some people this week. I don't think a commitment anywhere is imminent as far as, you know, I know this is his scheduled visit this weekend, and he's been to, you know, his finalists now. So, you know, you kind of wonder, well, maybe a decision is forthcoming pretty quick. I don't get the sense that that's probably the case. I think he's going to take a little bit more time, kind of like he said when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, just to kind of let things marinate a little bit and maybe even wait a little bit into the season. So, we'll see. I think he probably knows pretty well at this point what everything, you know, every school has to offer, and he's going to go up to Michigan State and get a good sense of it there again. But I think we've long considered, you know, IU and Michigan State as real, you know, real possibilities for him, and I think that's probably where it stands at this point.
Talking Trace Jackson Davis, his recruitment with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, that's going to be interesting. Once his final official visit is in the books, if he does play the waiting game, and he's made comments that he might want to watch the teams play and see the coaches in action with their groups this year and watch players that he very likely would play with as a freshman when he gets to college next year, that will be interesting to see how long he takes it, because being here in Indiana, Kyle, you know as much as anyone how often and how much high-profile recruits are badgered at some of these high school games, especially by the IU fan base. Badgered, I don't think in a bad sense, but it would get a little old, I would think, if you're a player and you're trying to make the right decision and you're trying to pay attention to some of the games and the details of the coaches, but know each and every Friday night you're going to have groups of people after the game or during the game or before the game yelling out at you to commit to Indiana. We saw it all happen with Romeo Langford. I don't know that it'll ever reach that level anytime soon, but he will have, I don't want to call them obstacles at all, but he will have some pressure from fan bases and others once the high school season gets here if he's still not committed and still has his recruitment open at that point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think we talked last week a little bit about it too, but I think he's enjoyed the recruiting process to a certain extent throughout the, you know, throughout his career, and it wasn't as heavy maybe as at least very early in his career as some high-profile recruits are, but it's really picked up here in the last year, and usually this is the time, you know, going into your senior year where you see kids kind of, you know, like you mentioned, it kind of gets tiring. It kind of gets old here and, you know, from fan bases and of course, the social media now, you hear from people that way as well. I really think, you know, I think he's going to have a pretty good idea, you know, after this last visit. And he's pretty much said, I'm not going to take this through the whole high school season. So I would kind of assume or guess, or, you know, educated guess, it could be somewhere in the December time frame. It could be December, January, somewhere in there. And he may, you know, and that may change too. He may think, well, it's just I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm ready. And that's always a possibility. It doesn't mean, you know, things change, as you know, and thoughts change and pictures become clearer. you know, as you get farther along in the process. So as it stands here on October 5th, I think the idea is probably to wait into December, January, but, you know, 2 weeks from now, he may feel different about that, and he's ready to do something, and I'm sure he will have that opportunity to do so whenever he wants to, whether he waits or decides to do it early. Nobody's going to, at least the coaching staffs, I don't think, are going to pressure him to do anything super soon just based off his amount of talent and his need for a program. So I think it'll be up to him, whether, like you said, I mean, he could get sick of it and say, all right, I'm ready, or he just feels ready. And that certainly could be the case. But I think for now, I think he's planning on waiting a little while into the season.
Kyle Medrip, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle, all this stuff going on with the college basketball scandal trial in New York, I think we all kind of knew maybe what to expect, that some things could come out. You hear other colleges named by Brian Bowen Sr. In his testimony earlier this week. And I guess some things that stood out to me, how about Laporte La Lemire, according to Mr. Bowen, paying $2,000 a month for his son to attend that prep school? It's obviously a school that has really stepped up as far as getting top players, not just in a Midwestern perspective, but from a national level as well. They've competed on ESPN numerous times. They have normally a starting lineup or top seven that are all Division I commits. They've, you know, unfortunately, from my standpoint of where I believe they've taken away from some high school teams in Indiana, some of the top players like Keon Brooks leaving their respective schools to go there, then they can't compete for Mr. Basketball, or they can't play for a state championship at La Lemire. But very interesting to see that this would get down to the level of being paid to play for a prep school, being paid to play for a specific AAU program. It's not just, according to Mr. Bowen Sr., happening at the college level on where you're going to go to school at, but happening even below that in the grassroots levels.
Absolutely, and I find it fascinating. I read Dan Wetzel's column this morning about it, and he's obviously there and plugged into what's going on, you know, with the hearing and then the subsequent trials that'll happen. And I do find it fascinating as well. And you know, for years you hear from people saying, well, the shoe deals they don't really matter. You know, the connection to the shoe companies, that doesn't really matter, you know. And now we're kind of seeing it laid bare a little bit as far as, you know, kind of the battles for these. And this is a kid who's not even, I mean, he's a top level, you know, national recruit, but he's not a top five kid or a top 10 kid. I think he was, you know, in the 20 to 25 or 30 range. So it kind of shows you, I mean, and also I think you have to keep in mind that, you know, the families involved, there are obviously going to be families who they're not going to be part of stuff like this, and they're not going to have a hand open. And I think, you know, at some point coaches realize, well, that's not the way this family's going to do business. And so it's not to say at all that all these top level kids are doing this and taking money, or there's a sweepstakes for all these kids, because some just don't operate that way. And I saw Jacob Emerson, who played at La Lemire with Bowen and ended up at Creighton. You know, they said, well, that stuff never happened, you know, with us. And that is probably true, and there's no reason not to believe them, but it was probably also known that they weren't going to go down that road also. So, you know, I think some of this stuff is, it depends on the families. It depends, and you can argue back and forth whether these kids should be paid or these families should get something out of it, because everybody else is. And I think there's a valid argument there as well. But yeah, it truly is really fascinating to see how all this is coming out. And, you know, I saw Wetzel tweeted that the NCAA was nowhere to be seen, you know, at this hearing. And I'm sure they just, you know, for them, it's, you know, why do they even pay attention to it? Because, you know, we're going to make money regardless, and just maybe hope all this stuff goes away or is, you know, whatever. But, it really is fascinating to watch it unfold, and you kind of wonder how it all, you know, plays out from here, if there are going to be any sweeping changes, or if it's kind of business as usual even after this.
Kyle Medrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy week 8 of high school football. We'll stay up to date with you each Friday on the program, and we appreciate the time.
Okay, you bet, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Kyle Medrip always with us Fridays here on the show. A lot of great information, cover a lot of ground with Kyle, from football to basketball to recruiting updates and more each week when he is with us. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the program. A reminder, you can always find us on podcast. If you miss a segment or you miss a full show, we're on SoundCloud. We're also on Apple Podcasts. For SoundCloud, you can download the app for free, or you can just point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search for us on Apple Podcasts. Just type in the Hoosier Report. You can leave us a rating if you would. Leave us a review also. That will help us reach other people on Apple Podcasts that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU and Southern Indiana sports. Don't forget, tonight I'm back with you at 6 o'clock for 5-plus hours of local football coverage as I anchor Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. We'll start at 6 o'clock. We'll have John Spears, the voice of the St. X Tigers, with me to look at the big Louisville games. Also, there were a lot of Thursday night games in Louisville this week as well, so we'll talk some about that. And we'll talk with Greg Bengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, about the big Southern Indiana games tonight. Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports will join me in the 6 o'clock hour tonight as well. And then at 7 o'clock, our two feature games, New Albany hosting Seymour tonight. Also, another game tonight we'll be paying attention to as far as play-by-play, Silver Creek hosting Brownstown. Those are two feature games on the Big X, but we'll have updates from Milan at Providence. We'll have regular scoreboard updates as well throughout our coverage tonight of all the local games. And then when everything is final, we'll have the scoreboard show. We'll have interviews with media members and coaches who will call in after their games. We'll also have scoreboard updates, all the final scores from both sides of the river, highlights from a lot of the games as well. Just an action-packed 45 minutes or hour or so scoreboard to kind of recap everything in Week 8 of high school football. Also, a reminder, as I mentioned a couple times today, the football pairings will come out on Sunday from Indianapolis, live on the Big X at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Join me tonight, 6 o'clock, for Kentuckiana Football Fridays. Have a great weekend. Be back with you Monday.